boom, and the distinct sound of crunching bone. Jason felt a sinking feeling in his stomach as he watched helplessly from the sidelines. Is this it? Did I lose? His eyes moved to the walls. There were only 100 undead left standing. The defenders had been severely diminished by the ranged attacks of the assaulting army. Jason could just make out Grunt's large form in the distance. He assumed Jerry must be nearby. Will they all die because I failed? Even with the numbers he had killed, Alexian's army still greatly outnumbered the defenders. Nearly 700 NPCs and players still assaulted the walls. With Alexion supporting them with his defensive spells, it was unlikely that they could hold the city. Jason turned his head back to Alexion. He watched as the glowing knight slowly approached the now vulnerable bone demon, gloating in his victory. His face was twisted in a mocking grin. And so it ends, demon. Did you really think you could win against the light? Alexion's gleaming sword descended and then penetrated the bone demon's skull as it feebly tried to reach for its scythe. Dark magic spiraled around the bone demon as its body began to disintegrate. Thunder pealed across the sky. Alexion raised his sword triumphantly and turned back to his troops. However, Jason noticed him wince as he lifted his arm. The battle had taken a lot out of him, and he was on his last legs. Once the healers woke up from their shock, it would only take a few healing spells, and Alexion would be back in battle. With his flaming greatsword held aloft, Alexion removed his helm with his free hand. This scene seemed eerily familiar to Jason, and he felt the bottom drop out of his stomach. If only his bone demon had been at full health.
Victory for Greykeep!
Alexion screamed. His remaining army roared in response and lifted their weapons into the air. Jason could only sit and watch as the last traces of dark magic from his bone demon swirled and faded into the night sky. There's nothing else I can do. All of his work over the past weeks had culminated in this moment. Yet he sat defeated on the edge of the field, his dark mana fading as doubt and despair clouded his mind. Jason glanced back up at Alexion's gloating form, and his brow furrowed in confusion. A halo of dark energy had formed around Alexion's triumphant face. Time seemed to slow as the halo grew larger and larger. It almost appeared that Alex stood in front of a black hole. Then Alexion's head abruptly exploded into a cloud of bloody mist. Fragments of bones flew in all directions as tendrils of dark energy wrapped his corpse and lifted it from the ground. The energy lashed at the steel and exposed bits of skin, tarnishing the metal and rotting flesh. Then the dark void dissipated. The headless, heavily armored body toppled almost comically to the ground with a crash of steel. As the headless corpse fell to the ground, Jason could see a figure standing approximately 50 yards behind Alexion. It appeared to be a young girl with long blonde hair. She held a large wooden recurve bow in her hands, and the string still vibrated from the release of the arrow. Her eyes were filled with cold rage, and shone a dark, unholy obsidian. The girl was almost painfully familiar, and Jason's breath caught in his throat. Riley? What the hell is she doing here? The world seemed to speed back up. The soldiers stared at Alexion's body for a moment, before roaring in anger at their leader's death. The soldiers turned to the small blonde girl that stood casually behind the army, and rage marred their features. Then they began to rush at Riley. She released arrow after arrow into the onrushing group as she moved backward with quick, nimble steps. The bolts were covered in a coiling black substance. Where they struck, flesh melted from bone. The soldiers screamed in pain, their advance slowing. Her accuracy was uncanny, and she shot with an almost unnatural calm in the face of the onrushing soldiers. However, Riley was still going to be overwhelmed by the dozens of soldiers that charged at her. For a moment, Jason considered letting the soldiers kill her. She had certainly thrown him under the bus at Richmond. Yet he had to admit that her being here was strange. He also hadn't missed the part where she blew Alexian's head off. Jason's chances of defending the city were now considerably improved. That gave her a few grudging points in his book. Riley also served as an excellent distraction, since many soldiers had pulled away from the army's main force to chase her. The longer Jason could keep those soldiers busy, the better. Damn it. I guess I will help her. He mentally directed his ice mage to freeze the ground in front of Riley, and his dark mages rapidly cast Curse of Weakness at the approaching soldiers, slowing their movements. With Riley momentarily safe, if she kept running, his gaze turned back to the tumult of the battlefield. Without Alexion's defensive buffs and directions, the soldiers were disorganized. With so many different avenues of attack on the city, Alexion had spread his forces too thin. This had been an acceptable tactic when the troops were supported by the knight's defensive buffs, but with Alexion gone, the soldiers were now vulnerable. Now is the time for the finale. I just hope the council had enough time to get them in position. Jason telepathically ordered his three almost forgotten thieves to attack. Nothing happened for several long moments, and Jason's brow furrowed with worry. He looked beside him at Onyx, and the cat seemed to shrug. Then an ear-splitting howl went up through the woods on either side of the gate. A horde of undead rushed into the clearing, flanking the enemies attacking the gate. Jason had ordered the council to move the three divisions out of the city through the north gate. This move left the wall poorly defended, but gave Jason the opportunity to launch a counterattack in the field. The downside of this plan was that it took a long time for his thieves to make the journey back to the city. It was also a struggle for the council to move the troops into position without alerting Alexion's army. Finally, there was a problem regarding communication. There was no way for his thieves to both notify Jason that the army was in position and stay with the troops so that Jason could tell them when to attack. There were a number of things that could have gone wrong with this plan, but it was now paying off. Sinister curses, bolts of dark energy, and gray arrows streaked toward the players and NPCs in front of the gate. They were caught in a crossfire of missiles, and the shields of the front line were pointed in the wrong direction. Alexion's soldiers screamed in pain as arrows penetrated their flesh and wicked corruption overtook their bodies. The undead soldiers struck the front lines, fighting with wild abandon. Only massive injuries disabled their limbs, and they felt no pain. The undead didn't fear death. Jason's army fought with well-trained coordination and maintained their 8-man units, even in the heat of battle. He watched as the undead soldiers drew attention from the enemy, while the thieves ambushed the enemy soldiers from behind. Blood erupted from well-placed strikes on the soldiers' necks and backs. Meanwhile, the mages provided ranged support while debuffing their opponents. Jason smiled as he watched his army in action, and a sense of pride welled up inside of him. Most of his minions might be gone, but his army and the residents of his city lived on. He turned his attention back to Riley. She had circled south as she ran from the soldiers, and was now cut off from the undead reinforcements. A trail of bodies lay behind her, a testament to her skill with the bow. She continued to fire into the oncoming soldiers as she backpedaled quickly. Yet many soldiers were still chasing her, and she was slowly losing ground. Several corpses lay behind the girl, and Jason quickly cast specialized zombie 3 times in quick succession with his newly regened mana. The freshly formed zombies pulled themselves from the ground, unnoticed by Riley. Without warning, one of the zombies grabbed the girl from behind, bodily lifting her small form and throwing her over his shoulder. The other 2 zombies formed a defensive wall behind the girl. Her escort and the group headed to the tree line where Jason sat, watching Riley kick fiercely in an attempt to free herself. Jason ordered the Ice Mage into action again. The mage froze the ground in front of the soldiers. With an evil grin, Jason gave new orders to his fire mage, and a wall of flame appeared at the end of the frozen field. The enemy soldiers ran headlong through the frozen patch, many slipping and falling. Their momentum caused some to tumble and slide headlong into the wall of fire, where they started burning fiercely. Screams issued from the burning bodies and mingled with the dying cries of the other soldiers at the gate. Jason chuckled tiredly. First zombie hand grenades, and now a deadly slip and slide. God, I love this game! Onyx rolled his eyes beside Jason. The commotion on the battlefield quickly took the attention away from the girl and her small escort. Soon the group made it back to Jason, and he deactivated Sneak. You can set her down, he ordered her zombie guard. The zombie carrying Riley gently set her on her feet. The three zombies immediately took up defensive positions between Jason and Riley, holding their weapons ready. Jason's mages continued casting actively in the background. Riley looked around with a disoriented and angry expression. Jason supposed that being grabbed by a zombie and carried on his shoulder would piss most people off. She opened her mouth to say something before catching sight of the zombies. They had quite obviously been dead a moment ago, and their bodies were riddled with gaping wounds. Riley gasped and took an involuntary step back. Then she saw Jason standing behind his minions, robed in dark leather and his face obscured by his hooded cloak. Jason looked at the blonde girl, his mind a jumble of confused emotions. He couldn't remember the last time he logged off. His emotions were all over the place. He was exhausted and his head hurt, his body running solely on adrenaline. To top it all off, there was also a war going on a few hundred yards away. In spite of everything, he could still feel the dull anger simmering inside of him as he looked at Riley. She had thrown him to the wolves without a care. Yet at the same time, confused questions sprang up in his mind. Why on earth was she playing AO? Why was she here of all places? Why did she attack Alexion? Maybe there is more to this story than I assumed, he thought reluctantly. Who are you? What is this? Riley asked as she continued to look around in confusion. The dark mana faded from her eyes. Jason noticed her haggard appearance. Her shoulders drooped, and dark circles hung under her eyes. Her face had a haunted look about it. Jason remained silent, still not certain whether to trust her. She started to put everything together as she looked back at Jason's hooded form. Wait. I know who you are. You're Jason, aren't you? Jason stood in shock for a moment. How could she know who I am? The answer came to him a moment later, and he felt like hitting himself. Of course. She saw the prompt like everyone else. She doesn't know who I really am. But that raised another question. Should I tell her? I suppose it's really only a matter of time before my identity is known, and I can always use disguise if need be. Screw it. Jason released his dark mana and pulled back his hood, revealing his face. Yes, I'm Jason, all right, he said with a grim chuckle. Riley just stared at him for a moment in shocked silence. Then her words came out in a tumble.
Wait, you're the Jason, but you're also my Jason.
Jason raised an eyebrow. You're Jason, huh?
What? No, wait! I mean, like, the Jason from my school.
Riley seemed extremely flustered by this turn of events. While she collected her thoughts, Jason glanced over at the still-raging war against the Twilight Throne. He had many questions for Riley, but this really wasn't the time or the place. He needed to get back to the battle. Many of his future subjects were dying while he stood here talking. Riley looked at him, and tears budded in the corners of her eyes.
I've wanted to talk to you, to explain what happened.
She trailed off at this last part and appeared uncertain how to continue. Riley, I certainly have plenty of questions for you. His voice sounded cold to his ears, almost angry. I also have to thank you for Alexion's death, which is the only reason you're still alive. But I have to get back to the fight. Many more of my people will die if I don't help. Riley flinched at his cold tone. Then her eyes turned to glance at the battle that was going on nearby, and she seemed to collect herself a bit. She looked down at her hands.
No, I understand completely. I think I need to log off for a moment anyway to clear my head.
Riley shook her head slightly as she said this last part. She glanced at Jason.
When you're done here, could we grab lunch? You know, like in the real world? I know you have no reason to trust me, but I would really like to explain what happened at school.
And here? She hesitated.
I'd like to explain everything.
Riley glanced down at her hands again and fidgeted. Jason could still see the faint glimmer of tears in her eyes. The same tortured look flitted across her face. This wasn't the effervescent, confident girl that he remembered. What happened to her?
That's fine. I'll call you when this is over, he said finally, some of the coldness leaving his voice.
Great, Riley answered, looking relieved and slightly hopeful.
I'll see you later then, Jason.
She pulled up the system menu in the air in front of her. Before she hit the logout button, she looked over at Jason one last time. In spite of her haggard appearance and the tears that glistened in her eyes, she grinned ever so slightly.
Remember, I won't be here to save you again. Try not to lose the war.
Then she disappeared.
Chapter 31 Recovering. Robert was sitting on the raised dais in the middle of the control room, gazing steadily at the large screen hovering over the room. The screen was currently divided into a grid of 16 different player perspectives. Periodically, Robert would stuff some popcorn in his mouth. All of the techs in the room had stopped what they were doing and were also staring at the screen from different positions around the room. The screen showed various views of the field in front of the Twilight Throne and the last-minute preparations of the army that was about to lay siege to the city. It was awe-inspiring to see the magnitude of the assault on the walls. Giant siege engines had been built and were being rolled onto the field, while the soldiers and players were sorting themselves into orderly ranks. Claire walked into the control room and paused as she saw what Robert was doing.
What is this, Robert? Are those player cameras? You know we can't access the cameras unless they violate the terms of service.
Robert glanced over at her and grinned.
I'm investigating the several dozen player reports that we have received in the last 24 hours. You know as well as I do that someone has allegedly been hacking the game.
He chuckled at this last part while shaking his head.
So far, I haven't seen any evidence of hacking, but I could. I need to be vigilant, he said in a solemn tone, before stuffing more popcorn in his mouth.
He turned back to Claire and waved at the screen.
Besides, this gives us front row seats to the war.
Claire frowned. However, what Robert was doing could be justified in a convoluted way. They had received numerous reports over the last few days that Jason was exploiting the game. The reports had all come from the players that were traveling to the Twilight Throne. She had seen some of the tactics Jason had used, and she shuddered slightly. Claire knew he hadn't hacked the game, but she wasn't certain she was comfortable with what he had actually been doing.
No, it's starting, Robert said excitedly.
The room hushed, and all eyes turned to the screen. Even Claire grudgingly took a seat beside Robert. Alexion gave a moving speech to his troops, which was met with a rising cheer. As the roar of the soldiers petered out, a lingering silence fell over the field. The undead simply stared at the troops, and the army began to shift anxiously.
You have to give Jason credit,
Robert murmured into the silence. The guy knows how to wage one hell of a psychological war.
A few techs nodded in agreement. They had all seen what Jason had done to the NPCs and players on the journey to the Twilight Throne. As the uncomfortable silence lengthened, Alexion finally ordered his troops forward, and the siege commenced. It was incredible to see so many soldiers and NPCs running at the walls of the city. Claire let out a sharp breath. Her eyes were glued to the screen.
"What is that?" Robert cried, pointing at a camera in the corner of the screen. "Enlarge it."
A single perspective filled the screen. It was a player standing at the trebuchets. Hulking black skeleton warriors were hurtling toward the siege engines. Their footsteps caused the ground to tremble, and their tails lashed the air behind them.
"Oh, shit! What the hell are those?"
the player exclaimed in a frightened tone. The camera tilted as he backpedaled away from the oncoming skeletons. His retreat was stopped, and the camera jumped, probably because the player had backed into something. The camera turned to reveal a wooden bulwark behind the player. Another roar ripped through the air, and the player whipped his head back to the oncoming skeletons. The staff watched as the skeletons crashed into the line of soldiers. Claire gasped as she saw the carnage caused by the Death Knight's initial charge. The player looked to his side, watching as his friend was impaled on a bone shield and slammed against the bulwark. The camera turned back to the left, catching sight of another Death Knight that was hurtling towards the player with its horned head lowered. The Death Knight struck the player, and his camera went black.
"Damn it! Find another camera,"
Robert ordered the tech. After a few long moments, a new perspective resolved on screen. This player was standing at the eastern tree line and watching the now burning trebuchets in the distance. Due to the time compression, the fight around the siege weapons had already ended. The new player could make out the forms of the Death Knights as they let out a roar of triumph and raised their swords into the air. Zombies stood inside the wooden bulwark, letting out their own howling roar.
"Charge!" yelled a nearby player.
The group sprinted from the tree line, attacking the dark skeletons and zombies from behind. Fireballs and bolts of ice flew through the air, striking bone and rotting flesh. Robert's fist slammed into his armchair as he saw the ambush from Alexion's forces. It was clear to the staff watching the screen that the Death Knights had been severely weakened by the initial charge on the trebuchets. They wouldn't be able to take another full-fledged confrontation.
"Is this it?" Robert muttered. "Jason's force is going to get wiped out."
Then the game froze for a moment, and the screen stuttered. The staff watched with mouths agape as the Death Knights and corpses were ripped apart. A cloud of bones flew through the air toward the cemetery. Then the ground of the graveyard erupted in a fountain of dirt and bones. The maelstrom of bones centered on the roof of one of the tombs in the graveyard, swirling in a gigantic vortex. The cloud was so dense that the group in the control room couldn't make out what was happening.
"Is that Jason? He must be standing on that tomb."
Robert's voice sounded loudly in the hushed silence that had fallen over the control room. The vortex resolved itself into a monstrosity of bone. The horror roared as it stretched its new body, clutching at its two-handed bone scythe. Its form towered over the walls of the graveyard, obscuring the tomb where Jason stood. The camera tilted for a moment as the player stumbled backward away from the skeletal terror that stood before him.
"What is that thing? It looks like a demon,"
the player muttered, his voice trembling with fear. The creature turned its head toward the ambushing group. Its face contorted in a cruel smile. Without warning, the demon dashed directly toward the soldiers. Its enormous form approached at a frightening pace.
"Oh, fuck!"
the player shouted. The camera turned as the player tried to run.
"Oh, God! Run!"
Then the camera tilted erratically as the player tumbled to the ground. Wisps of shriveled grass appeared horizontally in the camera's field of view, and blood rained around him. The screen went dark. The group in the control room sat in mute amazement. Finally, Robert's voice croaked,
"Another camera."
The dumbstruck tech
pulled up another camera. The new player was looking directly into the swirling vortexes of dark energy that were the creature's eyes. They seemed so close, too close. A manic grin was painted on the bone demon's face. The player let out a scream as the creature pulled him closer.
"Please, no!"
the player begged, to no avail. Within seconds, the creature's teeth sank around his neck. The screen went dark once more. Everyone in the control room was still. They weren't certain how to process what was happening on the screen.
"What the fuck is that thing?"
Claire finally asked, horror in her voice. It was unusual to hear her cuss, and some of the techs looked at her in shock. A few people used the opportunity to leave the room, shaking their heads. This was too much for them. "Sir," one of the techs said, "the game forums and live streams have exploded with traffic. The servers for some of the streaming sites have crashed. Even our servers are starting to hit capacity. Everyone is watching this." He shook his head. "Literally. Everyone." Robert's face was a mask of amazement.
"Find me another camera. Maybe one a little further away from the fight this time."
The screen resolved back into color. The new player was standing in the main army and was casting a spell at the defenders on the wall. Suddenly, a roar erupted from behind him, and he turned. The bone demon was now drenched in blood and was racing toward the rear line of troops. As the demon ran, he grabbed at zombies beside him, hurling them towards the army. Right before the zombies landed, they exploded in a cascading ring of shrapnel and dark energy. Players and NPCs were torn apart by the explosion, and their skin melted. The camera tilted and spun as the player was knocked down by the aftershocks of the explosions. When he looked back up, the demon was laying waste to the army. Its large size swung in a whirlwind of death and blood.
"How are we supposed to fight that thing?"
the player murmured in shock. A golden glow enveloped the player. He turned to see a knight, clad in shining steel armor, racing through the line of troops. The knight's eyes shone a brilliant gold, and bands of light wound around his body. Alexion had arrived. He challenged the demon, brandishing his sword. Turning to the small shining man, the bone demon grinned grotesquely. It roared into the dark sky that hung over the field. A bolt of lightning struck the ground, and the screen flashed a blinding white. When the player's vision returned, Alexion's steel-clad body lay a couple dozen yards away. Alexion slowly pulled himself from the ground and cast a spell that transformed his sword into a flaming greatsword. He turned and rushed at the bone demon.
"Damn, this is entertaining,"
Robert said into the quiet room as he lifted more popcorn into his mouth. If the summoning had been spectacular, the showdown between the bone demon and Alexion was downright extraordinary. The two figures clashed on screen with mighty, ringing swings of their weapons. The crowd in the control room and gamers around the world watched in wonder as the fight unfolded. Finally, Alexion stood victorious over the demon, and his sword sunk into its skull. Dark energy swirled in the air. Grumbles of discontent filtered through the control room. Most of the staff were actually rooting for Jason and were disappointed that Alexion now stood victorious. Money changed hands surreptitiously to the gloating expressions of the staff who had bet on Alexion. Alexion lifted his helmet off his head and thrust his sword into the air triumphantly. A roar went up among the NPCs and soldiers. Some of the techs shook their heads in disappointment, turning back to their screens.
"What the hell?"
Robert yelled, spewing half-eaten popcorn on the desk in front of him. A dozen pair of eyes were whipped back to the screen. Where Alexion's head had once stood, only a bloody stump remained. A blood-filled mist hung around his form as dark energy whipped and crawled over his armored corpse. As the body finally crumpled to the ground, the staff could make out a petite blonde girl standing behind Alexion and holding a bow. Her eyes glowed a dark obsidian, and a vicious smile was painted on her face. God, I love this game, Robert said, as the other techs yelled at the screen in confusion. Then undead rushed from the tree lines on both sides of the gate. Dark spells and arrows streaked toward the players as screams filled the air. The camera turned to watch the onrushing horde, and the sword of an undead soldier met the player's neck. The screen went dark.
Are there any other cameras? Robert asked frantically.
The tech shook his head as he frantically typed away at his computer terminal.
They're dying too quickly. I can't connect to a camera for more than a few seconds.
Long minutes passed as short clips played across the screen. The gist of the battle was clear from those brief snapshots. The army was being massacred. The tech continued typing frantically.
Wait, here's one, he called out, slumping against the back of his chair.
The screen settled on a single viewpoint. The player was lying on the ground, watching as blood rained from the black sky. Corpses of players and NPCs lay all around him. The remaining NPCs and players were running desperately for the tree line. The undead around the player raised their weapons into the air and let out a howling cry into the night. Thunder pealed over the city as lightning flashed between the dark clouds. A form walked slowly onto the field. Something seemed different about this figure, and the player observed him carefully. He walked with purpose as he inspected the corpses. His body was clothed in black leather, and his face was obscured by a hooded cloak. He surveyed the army around him authoritatively, making occasional gestures at the undead.
"Is that Jason?" Claire asked in a quiet voice filled with a confused mixture of awe and horror.
Several techs stared dumbly at the screen, all wondering the same thing. As he neared the player, the dark figure's head turned, and he looked directly at the camera. Only his mouth was visible underneath the hood. He smiled cruelly as he gazed at the player.
"It seems one survived," he said with a chuckle.
He turned to the undead. "Hunt down the rest. Leave no one alive. Bring their bodies back to me."
Then the dark figure looked back at the player, making a gesture with his hand.
The player was lifted into the air, shaking and jerking in an attempt to break loose. Yet with his injuries, he couldn't break free. From his new vantage, the player's camera took in the devastation. Hundreds of bodies lay around him, and blood soaked the ground. The figure continued to speak.
"I assume you're recording this battle, or you would have logged out already. That is good. My name is Jason. And this?"
The zombies beside the player rotated him to look at the dark walls that stood nearby.
"This is my city."
In response to his words, the undead that lined the walls roared in triumph. The zombies turned the player back to Jason, whose shadowed face now hovered directly in front of him. He held a blade to the player's throat.
"I have a message for everyone watching this. Do not fuck with the Twilight Throne."
Then the knife slid across the player's neck, and the screen went black. After Alexion's death, the battle proceeded smoothly, and the remainder of his army was swiftly routed. Alexion had spread his forces too thin when he chose to attack from so many different directions. The ambush from behind the main force, combined with the loss of Alexion's defensive aura, was the death knell for his army. Yet Jason wasn't content to let the remaining players and NPCs flee back to Grey Keep. He ordered his army to give chase. No one was going to return home.
"Except by a respawn," he thought with a grim chuckle.
Jason now stood on the walls above the south gate of the Twilight Throne and looked down upon the battlefield. He rested his hands against the cold stone. A little more than 6 hours had passed in the game since Riley had logged off. His head ached, and he felt exhausted.
"How long have I been playing? I haven't even received a system warning."
He had put aside some of the oddities about the game before, but he couldn't ignore this.
"This isn't normal. I must have been in the game more than 12 hours, real-world time.
How did no one catch this in the public trials? What is going on here?
His thoughts were interrupted as Onyx jumped up on the parapet and rubbed against him with a soft purr. He stroked the cat absent-mindedly, while his other hand rubbed at his own eyes. He needed to figure out what was going on with the game, but he was just too tired right now. Jason turned back to the battlefield. He noted the huge number of bodies that lay on the ground. Gruesome wounds riddled their flesh. They lay in tortured poses, their blood drenching the dark, cracked earth of the field. Nearly 900 corpses were scattered across the field. As he looked at the battlefield, the world around him seemed to stutter for a moment. "Hello, old man," Jason said without turning his head. A rumbling chuckle sounded from beside him.
"One war, and you are now on casual speaking terms with gods?"
The old man paused before continuing.
"You fought well," he finally said,
his voice tinged with a hint of pride. Jason didn't reply immediately. His eyes lingered on the field as his tired mind went over the events of the last few days.
"I did what was necessary," he said in a cold, firm voice.
He turned and looked at the old man who stood beside him. "Should I feel guilty for this? For killing and terrorizing the soldiers and travelers?"
"Why should you feel guilty?"
the old man replied, his tone incredulous.
"You defended your city and its residents. You did nothing to provoke this fight. You simply finished it."
Jason shook his head. "I know you're right. It just seems strange that I don't feel any remorse. A part of me thinks I should."
"Did you feel guilty after what happened in the marketplace in Lux, or with the nobles and the guards?"
The old man asked this last question with a curious tone. After a moment of hesitation, Jason answered, "Yes. That battle was fueled more by my rage than any sense of purpose. I felt ashamed for going overboard. I think that's why I was so willing to take your suggestion and build something from the ashes." Jason glanced back to the field, brow furrowed. "I suppose this is different. I didn't start this fight, and I did it to protect what I created." His eyes slowly turned black as he considered his next words. He spoke in an eerily quiet voice that echoed with unflinching determination. "I also know that I would do this again to protect the Twilight Throne. This is my city." The old man replied with a chuckle,
"Good. Anger is a useful tool to overcome your inhibitions. It helps many embrace the dark, and it often provides the fortitude to take the plunge in pursuit of your goals and desires. However, anger alone isn't enough. You need a purpose and a goal. It has been interesting to watch you develop these last few weeks," the old man continued.
He eyed Jason appraisingly.
"You're no longer the sullen, angry boy that originally wandered into my cave, yearning for strength. I saw potential in you then, and I am beginning to see the realization of that potential now."
Jason carefully considered the old man's words. Perhaps he was right. Jason had changed a great deal since he began playing. He still enjoyed the fighting, yet the anger and rage he felt toward Richmond, Alex, and his parents had begun to fade. Outside of the game, he was beginning to build a new life. He had grown more confident and commanding. He knew what he wanted, and he acted on it.
"Perhaps I'm beginning to achieve the power I was looking for. Maybe it wasn't about commanding an army or shooting lasers from my eyes. Maybe it was always about having the resolve to pursue what I want without reservation."
"What now?" he said, turning back to the old man.
"Well, now you make another decision. Will you take those corpses below for your own purposes,
or will you devote them to the city? Jason's brow furrowed.
What does that mean exactly? Devote them to the city?
I can grant you the power to raise those corpses in the field and add them to the population of your city.
Think of this as your first decision as the regent of Twilight Throne, the old man said as his wrinkled lips twisted into a pleased smile.
It wasn't really a choice as far as Jason was concerned. He spoke without hesitation.
I will devote the corpses to the city.
The old man smiled broadly, his eyes still covered by the hood. His wrinkled hand rested on Jason's shoulder. The arcane words and gestures that made up the spell tumbled into Jason's mind like an avalanche. This spell was much more intricate than anything he had learned before. It contained bits and pieces of the strange, almost primordial language Jason had spoken when he created the Twilight Throne.
New spell, Undead Devotion. You may use this spell to commit corpses within the area of influence of the Twilight Throne to the city. Corpses raised with this spell will not affect the player's control limit and will not be raised as feral undead. The raised undead will become residents of the Twilight Throne. Skill level, unknown. Effect, raised corpses become residents of the Twilight Throne.
This is the first spell or skill I've seen that doesn't have a skill level. What does it mean for the skill level to be unknown?
Why doesn't this skill have a level? Jason asked, confusion in his voice.
The old man shrugged.
I'm certain that the answer to that question will be revealed in time.
Do you always speak in riddles? Jason replied in irritation.
Consider it one of the perks of being a god. Few can force you to answer a straight question.
The old man's mouth smiled under the dark cowl that covered his face.
A word of advice. Use this spell wisely, he said, tone solemn and dark. You need to grow the power of your city quickly. This was but a small taste of what is to come. Your future opponents will not be so stupid or so weak.
The old man made to move off the ramparts.
Hey, aren't you forgetting something, old man? Jason called after him.
The old man returned with a mischievous grin.
Am I? I finished your quest and defended the city. Give me what you promised.
Jason's voice was even and held no trace of indecision.
Ah, you have changed much from the whelp that first entered my cave. Very well, then. Congratulations, Regent of the Twilight Throne.
The old man waved his hand as he said this last part. Quest completed, State of War. After creating the Twilight Throne with the assistance of the old man, you caused a war with the neighboring kingdom of Meria. You have utterly annihilated the army that came to claim your city, to the point of running down those that tried to flee. You have been named Lord Regent of the Twilight Throne. You now have access to the keep. You now have access to the city control menu, accessible in the keep. You are responsible for the city's residents, currently 3,326, plus 5% dark affinity.
I particularly enjoyed watching how you whittled down the enemy force, the old man said. I suppose I can also offer you a reward in addition to the quest completion. Perhaps a piece of equipment, since you seem so poorly attired.
He looked Jason up and down.
I think I know exactly what you need.
From underneath his cloak, the old man pulled out a long piece of cloth. The fabric was dark as midnight and blended into the shadows cast along the ramparts. It was made of fabric so fine that it ran like silk between the old man's fingers. Jason accepted the bundle with numb hands.
Jeez, I hope this is finally a decent piece of gear.
He quickly equipped it and checked the stats.
midnight cloak. Crafted from an unknown ephemeral material, this cloak feels as though the wearer is shrouded in shadows. The cloak completely obscures the wearer's face, even in direct sunlight. It also grants a bonus to spellcasting and stealth. Quality A. Durability indestructible. The wearer's face is always obscured in shadow, even in direct light. +2 effective level of sneak, +10 willpower, +10 intelligence. Soulbound. Holy shit, Jason murmured. This is the first soulbound piece of equipment I've found. I suppose this means I can't drop it upon death. The old man chuckled.
There is nothing holy about that cloak, but I am pleased that you are happy with the reward.
One more thing, the old man continued.
There are other cities that were once part of Lusad. This was only the capital city. There are many who will be interested in acquiring extra land from these events.
He looked at Jason levelly.
I suggest you move quickly to secure your new territory.
New quest. Prime real estate. Now that you have been appointed as the regent of the Twilight Throne, you need to take control of the surrounding lands and cities that were once part of the Kingdom of Lusad. Difficulty A. Success. Take control of the neighboring towns and area that were once part of the Kingdom of Lusad. Destroy anything and anyone who gets in your way. Basically, just keep doing your thing. Failure. Unknown. Reward. Acquisition of new residents and resources. Expanded area of influence for the Twilight Throne. When Jason's eyes turned away from the prompt, the old man had disappeared. Typical. Jason turned back to the field and looked over the corpses. I guess it's time to add some new residents to my city. His hands began the intricate pattern of movements required of the undead devotion spell. Guttural words left his mouth, sounding both strange and familiar to his ears. The words reminded him of the terraforming spell he had cast in the market. As he continued casting, the black clouds over the field began to boil and churn. Lightning arced between the clouds, glowing with a black aura. Then bolts of dark mana-infused lightning began to rapidly strike the corpses in the field. An almost endless series of thunderclaps rang across the field like cannon fire. As the bolts struck the corpses, the bodies twitched and spasmed. Then rotten hands and bleached bones scraped at the earth as the new undead pulled themselves upright. Milky white eyes and dark orbs of energy looked up at the walls of the Twilight Throne. They gazed upon their new home. As Jason completed casting, he was awarded with yet another prompt. City message. You have added 879 residents to the Twilight Throne. His work on the walls completed, Jason headed for the stairs. His next stop was the sow's snout. He needed to speak to the council about the new undead and the future of the city. His boots felt like they were full of lead as he trudged down the stairs, but he needed to take care of this before he logged off. Chapter 32. Debriefed. Robert Graham sat alone in one of the laboratories at Cerulean Entertainment. A few hours had passed since Jason's climactic battle in front of the Twilight Throne. This particular laboratory was special. It required a 3-factor identification to enter the area, including an optical scan, a blood sample, and a fingerprint scan. Robert also hadn't missed the cameras spaced around each room and the small valves located on each wall. He knew that if he tried to make a run for it with any of the tech that littered the room, knockout gas would immediately be injected into the air, and armed guards would be waiting at the lone exit. Robert was examining his latest project. He sat at a long metal table on one end of the room. Multiple computer terminals dotted the table, and sophisticated tools hung along a nearby wall. On the other side of the room, a screen blared as two announcers discussed the events at the Twilight Throne. Ignoring the screen, Robert's attention was focused on the plastic helmet in his hands. This new headgear would revolutionize the world of VR technology. Instead of the opaque, claustrophobic helmet that the users had become accustomed to, this new design left the face free and unrestricted. Robert and his small stable of engineers had also vastly increased the sensitivity of the VR headgear. At this point, the hardware was capable of producing sensations that were almost indistinguishable from real life. Robert's eyes flitted from the headgear to the screen. The announcers, a man and a woman, were standing before a screen that played footage from the battle in front of the Dark City. The players that had participated in the siege had posted snippets of the fight. The network didn't have Robert's level of access to the player cameras, but they had done a respectable job of piecing together the footage they had received from the players. The final scene of the battle was playing behind the announcers. Robert watched again as Jason cruelly slayed a player in cold blood and issued his warning to the gaming world.
"Wow," the female announcer said. "I get chills every time I see that clip."
Her male counterpart shrugged, unimpressed by the footage.
"It was an intimidating warning. However, Jason didn't achieve the result he was looking for. Most of the players have taken his threat as a challenge. Jason is now the man to beat, and the Twilight Throne is the city to conquer."
The woman smiled slightly.
"I've heard the same thing. My favorite part was the bounty that has been placed on Jason's head. Can you believe someone would pay $5,000 for a video of Jason being slain in-game?" She shook her head in confusion. "Who has that kind of money to burn on a game?"
With a frown, the male announcer said in an irritated voice, "I don't blame them. Jason has gone to extreme lengths to protect his precious Twilight Throne. I mean, look at how he slayed a player in that last clip. It is no wonder that people are upset."
The male anchor continued,
"The real question is how a player could have accomplished what Jason has, especially this early in the game. How could Cerulean Entertainment have allowed a player to reach this level of power so quickly? It seems like favoritism. I bet Jason is the son of one of the board members. At a minimum, this was some kind of promotional event for the game."
The woman eyed her partner skeptically.
"You think that the company would risk their reputation by playing favorites? Let's face it, the early rumors about Jason were wrong. This wasn't an event quest. Jason actually managed to conquer Lux and defeat Alexion's army. There weren't any hacks involved."
She paused for a moment before continuing.
"I expect that we have just seen one player that has discovered a unique way of playing the game. As you said, AO hasn't been out long. I anticipate that we are going to see other players accomplishing similarly amazing things in the near future."
Robert shook his head as he watched the screen. "Favoritism, huh? We haven't had any influence on Jason," he said in an amused voice.
Then he hesitated. Cerulean Entertainment hadn't been playing favorites, but maybe Alfred had. Robert wasn't stupid. He had noticed that the footage of the massacre in the Lux Marketplace had been cut. There was nothing wrong with the hardware, so the only explanation was that Alfred had been involved. Robert wasn't certain why the AI controller was interested in Jason, but he wasn't overly concerned. He knew that Claire didn't share his nonchalance, but Claire was a worrier by nature.
"Alfred is just a tool," Robert said quietly into the empty room. His voice carried a note of doubt, as though this declaration was made partially to convince himself. Claire had personified the machine by giving it a name, but at the end of the day it was just a bundle of wires and some fancy programming. Robert should know. He had designed the AI controller, after all. All of Alfred's actions could be understood in the context of his primary directive.
he had gone rogue in an effort to understand more about the players and keep them playing. This didn't make the machine a real person. He was just an incredibly sophisticated piece of equipment, one that had inadvertently created extraordinary technology in pursuit of the goal that Robert had assigned to it. After Claire was unable to point to anything that Alfred had done to actually harm the players, she had grudgingly come around to Robert's way of thinking. Robert was an engineer at heart. His own primary directive was to build incredible things. Nothing else could match the exhilaration he felt when he created something new or revolutionary. His creations could always be used for evil ends, but he couldn't stop that. Any tool could be used destructively, even Alfred. The result depended on the user. What was important was the invention itself. He gazed at the plastic helmet in his hands, an unusually somber expression on his face. His finger traced the ridge of the helmet. He had included several upgrades in this device that weren't shown on the schematics or technical specifications. He was interested to see how Alfred would utilize the new hardware. What would the AI controller develop with this new tool? He felt a flush of excitement as he considered the possibilities.
"I will just keep building," Robert said, an excited grin replacing the serious look on his face.
When Jason arrived at the sow's snout, he saw that the patrons had spilled out of the inn onto the road. Kegs lined one side of the street, and the undead drank with wild abandon. Shouts filled the air as the residents celebrated their victory. It felt like he was attending an extremely well-costumed Halloween party. Jason edged through the crowd, squeezing between drunken zombies and skeletons. Few of the residents reacted to his presence. He had won the war largely unseen. "Good thing I'm not obsessed with popularity," he observed wryly. As he made his way inside the tavern, he was overwhelmed at the number of undead that were crammed into the small pub. Every table was full, and it was difficult to walk to the bar from the front door. The chaotic roar of people talking, combined with the jovial music playing in the background, created an unintelligible wall of noise. "What the hell is going on here?" When Jason finally managed to shove his way through the throng to the bar, he found Jerry pouring drinks at an almost casual pace, despite how crowded the bar was. As Jerry caught sight of Jason, he called out in greeting, "There's our evil overlord himself!" A drunken cheer went up through the bar at the mention of an evil overlord, but it was clear to Jason that most of the undead had no idea why they were cheering.
"Look at you, all flushed with victory," Jerry continued, unperturbed by the confused roar of approval.
Jerry did a double take and stared again at Jason. "Or at least you would be flushed if I could see your face." He rubbed at his eyes.
"Maybe I'm going blind. Do my eyes look okay?"
He pulled his eyelids back so that Jason could better see his milky white eyes. "Hey, Jerry. You're not going blind. It's just a new cloak." Jason gestured around the bar and asked, "What the hell is going on here? Why is this place so busy?" Jerry looked at him in mock offense.
"Are you saying my humble establishment is somehow not trendy enough to bring in a crowd? I will have you know that kings have stood in this very room."
"Really? Who?" Jason asked with a dry tone. Jerry flicked his floppy hat and looked down coyly.
"You would actually be the first, but the point is still valid."
Jason just shook his head. If he were honest, he had kind of missed Jerry's idiocy when he had been stuck out in the forest alone. Dropping the act, Jerry continued in a more serious tone.
"Actually, this place has been quite the hot spot lately. Ever since the residents figured out that they didn't need to eat or sleep, their drinking budget has expanded considerably. Also, I don't know if you noticed, but the forecast calls for gloomy with a chance of rain for the foreseeable future. Basically,
It is always 5 o'clock around this city.
Jason looked at the undead patrons at the bar skeptically.
Can they even get drunk?
Oh, yes, indeed. Actually, you might have had a bit of an insurrection if they figured out they couldn't. You dodged a dagger.